Thank you for stopping by my podcast, Finding God in Our Pain. Welcome. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Pilkington. In this podcast, you'll hear firsthand stories of how the God of the Holy Bible meets real people in their real pain. We look at the good God we profess through the lens of pain and suffering. I'm processing the most painful season of my life after unexpectedly losing Larry, my husband of 32 years. In my journey, I've discovered that there are many types of deaths. Maybe you've asked God, how could you let this happen? Why me? Where are you, God? Do you even care? What am I supposed to do with my life now? Here at Finding God in Our Pain, we don't shy away from the tough questions. I ask them to my guests. I share what I've experienced. We give real examples of how God shows up in the darkest, most painful situations in life. May the stories that you hear and the advice you receive encourage you to engage the heart of God about your painful places or memories or experiences or even your unmet expectations. Lean in close to God's heart because He speaks beautiful things in the dark. So the topic, the question for today is, can God's plan for your life be ruined? Specifically, ruined by our own poor choices, or can it be ruined by the choices of other people by way of impacting our life? And I wish that question was cut and dry, but the answer is really yes and no. That's the best short answer I can provide. But we're going to use scripture as our basis as we push out this topic. There's tons of truth that will show you, no, God's plan for your life cannot be ruined, no matter the contributing force. However, near the end of this podcast, I talk about the one thing that can indeed stop God's plan for your life. And I don't think you'll be surprised when you hear what it is. I do hope that you'll read it with a fresh dose of encouragement and that you feel empowered to take the next step. And here's how this topic came up and why I wanted to share it with you. I had the chance to speak at a Christian women's event, and Psalm 23 was the verse that their gathering was based on. And I get excited about Psalm 23 because, as many of you know this about me, memorizing that particular psalm has been such an incredible weapon for me. And not only in my everyday, ordinary life, but it's my lifeline when things are complicated and painful. When I proclaim Psalm 23 over my life or that of my loved ones, it infuses me with hope, encouragement, confidence, and it strengthens my faith muscle. Allow me to tie this in really quick as another resource for Psalm 23. After I had a measure of grief healing, I could look back and see how God worked in my life in ways at the time that I did not discern. And I wanted to share how God showed up. And so I did a standalone podcast episode titled, Here's How Psalm 23 Showed Me God's Faithfulness. And I give tangible examples of what it meant for God to be faithful in the midst of my grief. And currently it has over 7,600 downloads. And I'll put the link in the show notes. And I add that little bit of info because in this episode, we're going to specifically build on Psalm 23:3 as our core scripture with regard to the question, can God's plan for our life be ruined? The verse reads, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The purpose of drawing the focus in on that specific verse is that I want to look at God's heart for restoration as well as look at other examples of how the heart of God is to restore us to His paths of righteousness, who He created us to be for His name's sake. Think about how invested God is in us. We are His namesake. If you're one of my faithful listeners, many of you know my story of unexpectedly losing my husband in early 2018, and it was 6 years ago as of February 21st, 2024. He left our home at 8 a.m. Everything seemed fine. However, by lunchtime that same day, he had a massive heart attack and passed away, something my boys and I never saw coming, never. Out of that pain, a portion of my redemption is to encourage believers in the dark valleys of life. So I spend a lot of my time looking at the good God I profess through the lens of pain and suffering. I have the precious privilege of my guests allowing me into some of the most vulnerable moments they've ever known. It is an intimate space to be allowed into because I get a glimpse of how God enters into our pain and how He works in the privacy of someone's personal devastation. When life no longer resembles anything we once knew, I think it's a fair request we make of God to put things back like they used to be. I've pleaded with God I had been with my husband for a little over 33 years. I repeatedly asked the Lord, give me back my normal. Return things to how they used to be. Give me back my old life. Struggling under the weight of pain and an internal fight to orient myself and to gain my footing. So in my mind, it actually seemed possible that if I could just go back to the way things used to be, everything would be okay. Life would be good again. And if you've got some life under your belt, life experiences with some hard things, more than likely you've asked God to put things back like they used to be. And I've shared this with you before. This type of pain, loss, suffering is not exclusive to losing a loved one. Anytime we struggle under an immense weight of pain, no matter what it personally means to have your world flipped upside down, our brain is grasping at anything familiar, and yet at the same time, panic is there because we know in the back of our mind, or maybe it's in the back of our heart, that this shaking and shifting is actually exploding our life into tiny little pieces. That's why it's so important to grieve when life takes unexpected twists and turns. After a life-changing event, it will not return to how things used to be. It simply can't. And we need time for our head and our heart to catch up. When life goes missing, the good news of the gospel isn't exclusive to our salvation. It is the reason that we can know anything good on this side of heaven. There are times when we'll find ourselves in broken, painful consequences as a result of our own choices. And then there are times when we'll find ourselves in broken, painful consequences because of someone else's choices, or simply because life happens, like with my husband. Either way, we're left with the aftermath of what feels like a head-on collision. In any of these situations, something that had been previously tethered to our heart, our life, our identity, it's been disrupted. And when it's broken, it's broken. And acting like it isn't only delays the suffering. Whether we find ourselves in the position of needing God to restore us because of our own choices or the choices of others, we have two perfect biblical examples that are proof that we can know and experience God's hope, healing, and restoration. The biblical proof that I'm going to share is something you are more than likely very familiar with, but I want to look at these historical accounts, potentially, hopefully, through the lens of a fresh new reminder. For those of us who have made poor decisions, and I count myself among these precious people, whether we're living with lifelong consequences, maybe unforgiveness is eating at us, or shame and guilt stab us like a knife, be encouraged by this beautiful example of God's power and authority to repurpose our poor decisions. God's standard, his rules, his precepts are for our safety. So when he told Eve, and he told Adam too, eat from any tree in the garden except that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He did so as a loving father who wanted to protect his children. And as we know, Eve decided to go outside the boundary that God had put in place because she had heard from the serpent that eating the fruit would make her like God. So that couldn't be a bad thing, right? Eve loved God. But what Eve didn't bargain for is that while she would indeed know something God knew, Eve did not have the authority and the sovereignty to handle or overcome this new knowledge, because the reality of her choice came with consequences. And that's what God was trying to protect her from. He didn't want her to endure the consequences that he knew were attached to her choice. It was going to break his heart as he watched her struggle under the reality of this knowledge with no power against it. And I feel sure, because I'm a mama, so I feel sure what broke his fatherly heart the most, Eve was now separated from him, and he knew who was coming for her. A constant battering on her mind and her heart and her body. Steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Sean Covey said, we are free to choose our paths, but we can't choose the consequences that come with them. Eve's choice to do things on her own terms resulted in more than a lifelong consequence. We live under a generational curse because of Eve's choices. The language of the culture today gives us so-called encouragement by telling us to handle things on our own. You see all the social media quotes and posts about being independent and strong and how you don't need to rely on anyone. You don't have to ask for help. You can do it yourself. You're so strong. That, my friend, is the world talking. Every single time, without exception, when I want to handle things in my own understanding and with my own discernment, I will create a coping skill or some sort of self-protection method. If I don't take the thing straight to God and expose it ask for his guidance and his input and his wisdom, I end up struggling with something God never intended for me to endure. I end up in the negative, struggling with things that are detrimental to my well-being, less than God's best for me. The result of me doing things independent from God, fear and anxiety show up. My emotions want to lean into depression. I start feeling disconnected, feeling like no one sees me or no one cares. I have a constant feeling of overwhelm. All these things have Satan's fingerprints on them, these types of steal, kill, destroy feelings. So Eve bites the apple, introduces sin to the world, and then God threw his hands up and proclaimed that his plan was ruined and that he didn't know what he was going to do now, right? No, thank God, no. Eve's choice, catastrophic as it was, did not overpower God's authority. God always has a plan of restoration, a plan that overwhelms the broken things of this life. God flips the script on the pain and suffering in this life and brings beauty from our ashes, both for our good and his glory. So for those who choose the finished work of the cross, the curse that Eve put on us is broken. Because of Christ's shed blood and resurrection, we have direct access to the heart of the Father, a heart for us that desires to save and restore. And that, my sweet friend, is why your poor choices do not have the power to destroy the calling on your life. Can we temporarily derail the original path, delay it, cause added obstacles and complications where we show up with additional baggage, more baggage than before we went off the rails? Yes, we can. But once we submit ourselves to God, when we repent and bring it into the light, his light, we get to watch him transform our situation. In God's plan of redemption, things like regret, shame, guilt, unforgiveness, and the like have been accounted for, planned for. God knew it was coming. He's not surprised by our humanity. He was not caught off guard and had to scramble to figure out how to manage this new revelation that we threw at him. Sweet friend, he's made a way for you and I to lift our heads under the weight of our choices. And even better, we don't have to wait for heaven. I think our biggest challenge is comprehending the truth of God's heart for restoration and stepping into it. If we knew how true, how strong God's heart is for restoration, we would grab a hold of it in the here and now. We wouldn't delay for a single second. We don't have to pray for God to have a heart of mercy and restoration. We don't have to look for it, work for it, hope for it. That's who he is, with or without our acknowledgement. All we need to do is engage his heart. And how do we do that? Cultivate a life of intimacy with our Father, discovering who he really is versus who we want him to be, who we think he is, or who we think he should be. Get to know his heart and who he says we are, and watch your life be transformed. For those of us who by no choice of our own find our lives flipped upside down, that which was the atoning sacrifice to correct Eve's selfish decision is also perfect proof that despite the horrific tragedies in this life, abandonment, rejection, innocent blood, being misunderstood, lied about, betrayed, molested, all the different ways that one human being can choose to assault another human being, the list is endless. Nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, is impossible for God. His plans are bigger. His power is sovereign, and his authority answers to no one. He has no rival and no equal. And allow me to add this example of God's extensive power and authority. Hell, the lake of eternal fire, is the place God has ordained where people will spend eternity if they choose not to allow Jesus to pay their sin debt. Hell is God's real estate. That's why God's word plainly tells us in Philippians 2, 10 through 11, whether in heaven, on the earth, or under the earth, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. From the very pit of hell, God will be acknowledged. In either eternity, heaven or hell, we're on God's turf and we are on his kingdom territory. And that is why I can guarantee you that God can bring good despite the devastation of this life. Hell answers to God. With God having no rival and no equal, and because all things are under his authority, He ordained the death of his only son as the acceptable atoning sacrifice that would break the curse of our sin penalty. Yes, Christ's death was planned, but Jesus would not have the luxury of avoiding the human aspect of that suffering. He would suffer in every way that we do as humans. Jesus's life, his horrific death, the burial, the victory of his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father would not be without deep pain, a soul-aching, bone-saturating submission that caused him to cry out to the Father to give him relief from the torment, anguish that brought blood out of Jesus's pores while in the Garden of Gethsemane, and not just the physical suffering, but the very core of who God is. Our God, the God of the Holy Bible, is the God of relationship. And Father and Son would be separated. God would turn away from his Son until our sin penalty was paid in full and the curse was broken. And what result does God bring about with his Son's horrific death? Colossians 2:15 tells us in the NIV, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." And let's not forget Ephesians 6:12 that tells us the importance of disarming the powers and authorities. Ephesians 6:12 in the NIV tells us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Christ's death publicly put Satan to shame, both in the physical world as well as being acknowledged in the spiritual realm. If you've had no choice about what happened to you, where does that leave you? What does Christ's death, burial, and resurrection mean with regard to what you've lost? I do hope it's comforting to know that God fears nothing, not our anger or our rage, not our ungodly questions, not the evil of this life. There is simply nothing about our existence that God fears, because he has the power and authority, two different things, to take the very thing that Satan meant to destroy us with, and not necessarily destroy us as in our physical death. Satan is content if he can destroy us with our thought life, hold us captive through our emotions, or keep trauma locked in our hearts. It's all the same to him. If it will silence us, make us bitter, isolate us, or separate us from God, from his truth, in any way, shape, or form, it's a payoff for Satan. But God isn't afraid, because his solution is redemption for absolutely anything evil that this life can dish out. What we can't do in our own strength, the fact that we have no power or authority to change our circumstances, God repurposes the reality of pain. Not that he immediately takes us out of it, but in his hands, we're guaranteed that our pain is not for nothing. To take the evil pain inflicted upon you and turn it into purpose, that's a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. I feel sure I've shared this with you before, but allow me to share once again something the Lord spoke into my spirit as I processed the death of my husband. I was telling God that I found no comfort in what people were saying to me, that God does not give you more than you can handle. I knew they were trying to be kind, and so I received it with grace, mainly because even I've said that before to people. But now standing on the receiving side, it stung every time because I wanted to scream, "Oh, yes, he does. I assure you he does. I am undone in every way. I did not choose this, and I don't want to be here." So I took all of that pain to the Lord. It was probably considered ungodly, and it was raw, but it was honest. And in the midst of my breakdown, the quiet, calm voice of the Holy Spirit downloaded something very precious into my heart, and it changed my perspective. It is something that I will always hold close to my heart. He said, "Sherry, I don't allow anything I don't plan to redeem." And that didn't mean that I was going to skip the grieving process or forget my husband. It simply meant that nothing touches his children that he does not have the power to use for our good and his glory. He always has a plan. God always has a plan that overwhelms our limitations, that rewrites the mental, emotional, and spiritual demise that Satan had planned for us. So my sweet friend, no matter the reason that you're struggling with the evil of this life, my encouragement for you today is rest. Rest your weary heart. Rest your mind in the constant running from one anxiety-laden thought and memory to another. Grab a hold of this lifeline, Matthew 11:28. And then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and you carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Your heart can have complete confidence that God will take care of you to the degree that you allow him to. And here's where the yes, God's plan for your life can be blocked. Because remember, he will never force himself on us. He doesn't push us into anything. He extends his hand and invites us to allow him into our pain. He will gently, tenderly work in the places that we expose to him. Plenty of people leave this life never having fulfilled the calling on their life because they did not have the courage to allow God to heal them. And I'm not saying God can't work in your life on your behalf. I'm just saying that if you don't engage him, the benefits of your healing are limited and you won't perceive what he's doing. In the healing process, you discover things about God that solidifies your value and your worth. If you keep God at arm's length, you'll miss out on the secrets that he has, that he only reveals in the darkest, most painful places of life. He responds to our authentic, honest, and transparent pain when we trust him with it. Whether we're a victim of our own bullying because we won't accept God's forgiveness, nor will we forgive ourselves, or we're a victim to someone else's choices, and maybe there's some unforgiveness there that holds us hostage. I want you to remember this. In the fight between good and evil, forgive, don't forgive, heal, don't heal, rest, don't rest, trust, don't trust, the push and the pull, do you know what the prize is? Do you know why the fight is so intense? It's your heart. Your heart is the prize. Place where the fountain of your devotion, affections, love, commitment, all that God placed in you when he knit you together, creating you in his image. You get to choose who you give your heart to, either one, Satan or Jesus, because both are pursuing you. Both have a plan for your life. Let this truth settle deep into your heart. In the midst of such a savage battle for your heart, and I say savage because we know that Satan is cruel, ruthless, and full of vile hatred for the things that bear the image of God, you. But God is savage in his extravagant, pure, selfless, uncompromising, unapologetic love for us. In this everyday battle for your heart, Satan sees your heart as a trophy with bragging rights. But God sees your heart as a priceless treasure that he longs to restore right up until the moment you get to see him face to face. Friend, let's embrace God's restoration. Let's have the courage to heal and fulfill God's plan for our life.
Thank you for your time and for sharing this experience with my guest. I hope you have found encouragement for today and a deeper revelation of God's heart in the midst of pain and suffering. We'd love to have you as a subscriber to Finding God in Our Pain so that you can be connected with all my guests as they share their personal experiences and professional knowledge about pain and suffering. And because this podcast is a division of the website A Life of Thrive, for more information and the various ways you can connect with us, please visit the website alifeofthrive.com. I look forward to sharing more transparent stories from the hearts of women who intimately know what it means to have their world flipped upside down, their authentic struggle to make sense of it, and what recovery and healing looks like. Till then, sweet woman, remember you are not alone and that God speaks the most beautiful things in the dark.